podcast. I'm your show host, Martin Condon. And guys, before we get on with the show, I just want to remind you, if you want to support the show, if you want to support the fight for cannabis legalization in Ireland, you can sign up to the patreon.com/Martin's World, or you can also make a donation in the form of Bitcoin through the link found on martinsworld.ie. All of the funds, guys, will be used to establish a cannabis activist hub here in Cork City, so we can bring together the cannabis community, not only just to socialise, but to better organise ourselves to fight for cannabis legalisation in Ireland. As it is coming, it's going to be here very soon, so we really do need to get better organised to see it happen. But guys, so today's show guest is Gary Hudes. Gary Hudes is based in Liverpool, and he set up a cannabis cafe there, known as the Chilling Rooms. The Chilling Rooms has been raided a number of times over the years, and as a result, Gary's found himself in front of the judge and also inside in prison. This has led to the problems within his own family life with brothers and sisters, and even with his own kids there, it can kind of bring up difficulties. So we discuss all of that and more in this episode of the podcast. So I really enjoyed this episode, guys. I hope you do too. I really can't wait to get over to Liverpool to meet with Gary. But without further ado, guys, I give you Gary Hudes. Gary Hudes, welcome along to another episode of Martin's World. We had a bit of a technical issue the last time I tried to get you on, getting a lot of feedback, but it seems like we're in a much better place today. Now that you've got your new headphones there, they look fairly fab. So Gary, you're in the UK, based in Liverpool, and you set up the Chilling Rooms, which is what I wanted to talk about, because like you say that you like what I do, but I get my inspiration from people like yourself. If there wasn't people like yourself out there doing what you've done, I probably wouldn't have ever really been inspired to push the boundaries like I have here in Ireland. So maybe just if we could start there, the Chilling Rooms. When exactly did you start the Chilling Rooms up? What year was that?
Chilling Rooms was founded in 2002 after I attended a conference called Shaping New Agenda, where it was like chief inspectors and people from Holland and people from health, and I just thought, this is the time. I thought, like, well, it's going to be legalized in 2 weeks' time, like I'm in the door type of thing. And 20 years later, we're just about through the door now type of thing. We're setting the standards now.
So you had a feeling back in 2002 that you were at the cusp, that you thought legalization was about to happen. So that's why you went and set up the room. So you were out by maybe 20 years or so. You were a bit ahead of the curve.
We had a home secretary, David Blunkett, and he was. It was all in the newspapers. It was going to be legalized. It was going to be a Class C, and there was going to be coffee shops. There was one opened up in Manchester called Long Enough. Wow, I'm a businessman. I can open this place and do the right thing type of thing. I've been visiting Holland for lots of times, the coffee shops. And
Could you just again about that place in Manchester? It seems like you froze up there when you mentioned the shop in Manchester. What was that called again?
It was called the Dutch Experience, and it was run by a gentleman called Colin Davis, who's a friend of mine. And I went up and met his community. And then I was invited to that conference, and then I just thought that this is it. And then I went to Holland and done a course, a coffee shop course, with an activist called Noel Van Schaik. He sadly passed away recently.
Yeah, Noel, she's a great activist. Very sad, and he was very young when he passed as well. Sorry, sad.
So I went to his coffee shops in Holland and done a course for a week.
Willie Wartle was his coffee shop. Willie Wartle,
So he was a great man. He was a great inspiration to me. So I come back and set Chilling Rooms up, and it was opened in 2004. But as soon as I was opened, I was raided again. I mean, it was like I was a number one target type of thing. There was no way the Merseyside police were going to let it happen.
And
so,
the first time you opened it up, was it a kind of a bring your own bud kind of affair, or was there flowers and hash available for people on site when they arrived the first time you opened?
From 2000, I learned how to grow. So it was, all my friends were, like, Liverpool's got a fully established 20 years growers and that type of thing now, and our network. And with that underground, like, and, but lots of us have been taken out. And, you know, but at the time, I was growing, and I showed all my friends. So we had it, like, you know, for the first few months.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought, I'll meet new growers when I open it, which I did.
Brilliant.
So I met all the new growers, and it just grew from there, type of thing. Every day we just got better and better. But as I say, the raids happened shortly afterwards, so there wasn't much. We couldn't really get our community together, but every single day it got better. Like, you know,
yeah, I suppose a raid makes
yeah, it makes you stronger, type of thing. And people were scared to go in the end.
Yeah.
But opened up more and more times over the years, and more raids, and.
And the property that you were using, was it a rented property, or was there somebody?
No. It's mine. I own it. I was a property developer. It was an outbuilding at the back of a set of shops in a rundown area of the city. There's open prostitution and crack dealers on every corner. So
lovely.
We actually turned it round. We brought all the musicians in and all the free thinkers, and just people who you'd love to chill with. Like, I was honoured to meet most of them, like, just being in the presence of the musicians and that, who brought the vibe.
And you owned the property, so yourself, is that right?
Yes.
And did that
Did
that bring up any problems then with the raids? Like, could the authorities try to seize the property or anything? Or did they?
I had to sign a multi-million pound property business out my name.
Okay.
Because of the pocket laws and that, so... I've been enemy of the state for getting on for 20 years now.
Yeah.
Just surviving, but we're at the cusp now, type of thing. With all the COVID, what's going on, all the job losses and all the industries, what have been so, this just totally it's time for change, isn't it?
Yeah, it does feel like it's very close. Something's got to give.
Right thing to do. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of opportunity now because of the coronavirus and the job losses and things like that. Certainly, cannabis could offer an incredible solution for the job creation that's needed to stimulate the economy after once we can kind of get back to normal. We've been told here now, it was only just announced earlier today that we're going to stay in the most restrictive of lockdowns until the 5th of March. So that's like another month of, like, we can't leave our homes, go outside of 5 kilometers from our homes or something like that. So there's a big kickback. That means businesses still can't return and stuff like, so there's going to be a big recession around the corner for us if we're not already deep into it. We're just not seeing the impacts of it because we're all bloody on lockdown. But really, once we come out of lockdown, cannabis needs to be legalized straight away so people can get growing it, get setting up their own chilling rooms and catering to the demand of the community, because the demand is incredibly high right now. Like the police in the UK, the police in Ireland, I see them making raids day in, day out. Only just the other day, there was a massive one in the UK in London next to the Bank of London, I think, like a very well-to-do area, and cannabis was found a massive factory being used there to grow it down there. Geez, I'm even using the media's terminology, a cannabis factory. I actually covered a story from Liverpool yesterday. There was a terraced house got raided in Liverpool, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and there was over 300 plants found inside of there. And there was a 22-year-old arrested in it. Like, this is the sort of thing that, what you're campaigning for would do away with, where, say, a 22-year-old is being used by a criminal gang, I'd imagine, to basically, he was there watering the houses. I don't think a 22-year-old is in a position to be setting up a facility like that. That's definitely done by somebody with a bit more power, a bit more push than him above. And I can't help but think that younger person was being maybe taken advantage of in... certain respects, and only because of prohibition. So, like, if you were to be setting up in Liverpool and you had the chilling rooms, What sort of things would you like to see our growers from your growers in terms of employment rights and things like that? Like, would you like to see young fellas being exploited in the grow rooms?
I'd like it to be all of them to be safe, so they're not fire hazards. I'd like everyone to be a taxpayer, so we can all partake in this green revolution type of thing. Where the growers are responsible, most of them putting a name to it. So you're as good as your last crop type of thing. So I mean, if you're putting it up onto a database where you're paying your tax and you're doing the right thing, it's a win-win for everybody. I mean, the black market in the UK, it's like £10 billion, I think. I mean, it costs huge. So much to the money what we're spending on the arrests and the court cases and the jails and the tags. I mean, we could be making twice that off the regulation and giving millions of people's jobs rather than spending on the judiciary. Yeah. So that's the position we're in now, type of thing. And this is the time. Like, everyone, wake up and roll your sleeves up now. Like, this is the answer to everybody's problems.
I've seen a case there yesterday. It was coming out of Southampton, and it was a man. He was caught last May last year, and he was caught with 53 cannabis plants, and he was also stealing electricity. Apparently, he'd bypassed the electricity or something. But he got a suspended sentence also. He wasn't sent to prison. 53 plants, that's not a small amount of plants either. But he got a 2-year suspended sentence, £500 fine or something like that. So it certainly does seem that even the judiciary now they're being much more lenient towards these kind of cases, at least in the recent days that I've reported on it. Do you think that's something that we're going to see over the next while in the run-up to legalization, with more court cases being kind of thrown out, given suspended sentences, where people just aren't getting jail time anymore? Do you think that's going to be a common occurrence before legalization?
First thing we've got to do is let the flower prisoners out of jail. If we can buy it with a medical prescription, if you've got enough money now, we can't have people languishing in jail. We've grown a few plants. I mean, I know it's getting better, but it's still not right, is it?
Yeah, I would agree.
We've got to get these people out of jail, stop all the court cases, all the people. There's thousands of people in Liverpool who are actually on bail now for cannabis offences, but they haven't got no court dates, me being one of them.
You're out on bail yourself at the moment, yeah?
Yeah, and I'm on bail from 2018 for a raid in Chilling Room.
For 2018, so over 2 years, you're still waiting for, geez.
Yeah.
And what were you caught in that raid that time? So was there cannabis and stuff?
There was always cannabis in there, yeah.
There was always cannabis.
All organic.
Was it much?
I think there was a kilo in there that time.
A kilo, okay, geez. What would they value that at in the UK?
£10,000.
£10,000, okay. And it's interesting, actually, if you were in Ireland, they would value that per gram by the street price. But in the UK, it's interesting. Your judges allow the bulk prices to be introduced into the court. So if you were to sell that in a bulk, you would get £10,000. But if you were to break it up, you might get £15,000 or £20,000, depending on how you sell it. But your courts actually differentiate that. Our courts over here, they don't. If you got caught with a kilo, they're going to estimate the price based upon if you sold it by the gram on the street, which is like €20 a gram or something. They're saying the value is here now at the moment.
Great. Yeah, Liverpool's £10 a gram.
£10 a gram. Okay, that's about €12 or something. that's still better than here. People are getting ripped off big time over here because of the coronavirus. How has that affected yourselves over and the supply and everything? Has your supply been upset because of the coronavirus?
There's lots of people growing now. Everyone's growing their own type of thing. I know when the first lockdown come along, the grow shops got cleaned out. So the way people can keep their heads above water, isn't it? So they're not working for their habits. Your habit works for you, type of thing. So when any extra you can bring to the coffee shop, that's what our policy is going to be. But you're going to be paying your tax on it, and you're going to be affiliated with us. You're going to say seed to sale type of thing. So everyone can see their future, seed your own future. And as I say, maybe 6 months' time, you're planning your own coffee shop, or you're opening your own coffee shop, or you're growing some cannabis for the coffee shop and one of their registered growers. It's a win-win for everybody. And we've got a Birmingham Chamber of Commerce accountants in Birmingham who are working with us. I've got people from the highest echelons of government who are singing our song type of thing, because times are changing. And as I say, chilling rooms is going to set the standards for the whole industry, as far as I'm concerned. We're here now with a vision and a plan, and we're literally going to roll it out everywhere. But we're going to be running it with an app. You can download the app so you can register your coffee shop on the app. Going to be a Chinese, it's the Chinese word for cannabis, the hemp symbol. We're going to be all, hopefully, it's going to be like the eBay for cannabis regulation, where all our clubs can register to it, and all our growers. So you can register your club with it, and we've got the accountants who do all the accountants, and all the bookwork, so everything will be above board.
Excellent.
And it'll be a community interest company, but it'll give back. So it'll be a win-win.
That's the job, and the app will work across the water here. Brexit won't impact upon us.
Yeah, I'd love to bring a chilling room to Cork one day, maybe, and show people, because it's a beautiful venue. It's tried and tested over thousands of days. Our model, we've got live music, and as I say, it just gives back lots to everybody.
Yeah,
and I
love the video that was up online there. Voice who done it, and it really captured the atmosphere of the environment really, really well. Like the live music that was there. My thing is kicking in here. I have a vaporizer going. I can hear it coming from my microphone. But the music inside of there, it was really well. It was a lot of local bands too. So it was local bands, local music, and local cannabis. Yeah. What more do you really want out of a business within your community? It's a business that only caters like local produced stuff, whether it be the artistry that comes through with the musicians, or whether it be the creativeness that comes through with the cannabis growers and the products they make from the cannabis. There's not many other shops out there that provide such so much local options. There's not really, even your fruit and veg shop, you go down there, they probably have imported fruit and veg. You look at the children's rooms, it was all local product. So excellent. A real testament of what the cannabis community can do to stimulate its own local community, it really is a great opportunity here if we were to legalize and sort this out. Yourself, when you started up, you got raided the first time back in 2004. But in 2017, you got raided again, but you were operational for a bit longer there. I think you got a couple of months where you didn't get raided.
Yeah, I had a year, in that year I was raided 9 times, but I still opened up every day. No, just come back, and to say, it took me a week to dust myself down, but all my friends just come back in. It was that good. It was part of people's lives, it was your social life. It was a safe place to go, free from hard drugs, just to meet like-minded people, and just everyone loved it. And every night got better and better and better, and more cool people come. It was raided by 40 officers. They had whizzes on the gates. It was over the top. There was 40-foot sparks in the air. At the time, I was on tag because I was from a previous court case, because they were arresting me every other day. I was scared to go out the house, so I went out every day anyway, and I had to roll my sleeves up. But in the end, after the major raid, it was just the place was stripped out and all the furniture was taken out and all that.
Oh, did they take all the furniture and everything?
The actual property is still in my brother's name, because I had to sign it out. So it's technically not in my name, but it is my coffee shop.
Yeah.
So they were going to arrest him type of thing, and putting pressure on him and the family, arresting me mum and all that. But to say, with my new community I've set up now, my professional, my board members who are fighting out, getting our model out there now, we were just, I don't know what to say, really.
You've been arrested a couple of times. How many times have you actually been arrested? And in relation to cannabis, anyway? Oh.
I've been jailed 3 times for it.
Three times? How long have you spent in jail altogether?
I got sentenced to 9 months, so I got 12 months, and I got kidnapped for a faulty battery, and I put back in Watton for a week. So that was another story.
For a faulty battery? Oh, yeah, you were telling me the last thing. Yeah. Tag on your leg.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we have that here in Ireland, but just tell me a bit about that. So they actually put a location device on your leg, is it?
Yeah, a tracking device on your leg. And I had to, when you come out of jail on the sentence, they give you a 3 month tag. So I stayed in the house, and then all police come in the middle of the night, and like, barge me up the stairs saying, "We're taking you." And it was a family birthday. I thought they were coming for like there being a fight in the pub, no, a family party.
Yeah.
And then just took me, and my son was in bed as well, fast asleep. So I had to take him and drop him off, and my mum was in the middle of the night. And I woke up in Walton Jail in the morning, and I couldn't believe it. And I'd come back a week later that there was a flat battery.
So messed up. So you got released with the tag because of a cannabis crime, then, is that right? Like you weren't up for murder or anything like?
No. All my criminal record is to do with the coffee shop activism type of thing.
Yeah. He's similar to myself. Cannabis is the only thing that would really appear on my criminal record too. It's horrible to think that. Like,
I mean, that's going to be your CV in the future. You can't your CV is your criminal record type of thing, because if you've been arrested for growing plants a few times, you're top of our list, aren't you, for one of our affiliated growers.
That's unfair on the guys who haven't got caught. I was only saying that last night, actually, and I don't know, I was in an interview with another guy, and I was saying it like, how do you prove your experience in this industry? Like, let's say tomorrow it's legalized and I can go down the road and I can apply for a job at fucking whatever cannabis grown place. How do I prove my experience? Like, if I was grown for the last 10 years, 20 years even, like, how do I go down and prove that experience? Because, like, what? Do I bring down photos? Oh, here's a picture of my grow. You actually have no way of proving what it is that you've been doing over the last couple of years. I suppose at least myself, I have my honours degree in herbal science, but still, I don't have any real experience that I can put down on paper and say, hey, look, there's my experience, because everything I've done with cannabis grown so far, it's been illegal, and you can't prove it. It's killer.
Once you bring your flowers to the table, everyone will there's lots of connoisseurs, isn't there, and they'll all like be talking about it and with your name on it type of thing. So people will build reputations really quickly, especially the good growers who
your
grow them with love type of thing.
Your product will speak for itself, really, whether it's quality test or not. That's certainly one way of doing it. What's to be expected from yourself? So you've the app coming up soon. When can we expect to see the launch of the app, Gary?
The app is launched 4/20/2021. It'll be there'll be lots of publicity surrounding it, and it's going to kick in type of thing. So when my shutters should be open, if the lockdown's over and we're allowed to go out type of thing. My shutters are going to be open on April the 20th with the app, so people can just be legit.
Yeah, well, I'll be running an event here in 420 myself in Cork, but I'll certainly make a trip over on 421 to you.
I'll roll a green carpet out for you.
That's savage, man.
After well.
Savage, make sure my shoes are clean.
Yeah.
No, that
everyone's VIP in chilling room. Everybody is VIP. You know, when they come in the door, like, it's a unique experience, and people have got memories from years ago. So we're just going to make happy memories and, you know, memorable times for everyone is here. Like, everyone can get a smile back on their faces again. And, you know, partake in this green avalanche.
Yeah.
We've been working with lots of other activist groups like Seed Our Future. We've got a friend in Michael Fisher, who runs Teesside Club, Club Exile. We're affiliated with them type of thing. And behind the scenes with our professionals, we've been working with Leap Law Enforcement Action Partnership.
Sweet.
A fellow called gentleman called Neil Woods. So he's helping behind the scenes. We've been in contact with the Conservative Drug Policy Reform. We've got the Labour Party Drug Policy Reform. And people who are, you know, singing our song. And we all play our different little instruments, and we all know the song, like, and we can all, like, just harmonise together, can't we, in these places of freedom and bring about good, like cathedrals of peace, where it gives back. And, this drug war has ravaged the communities, hasn't it? And it's, this is an organic future where everyone can have a real job, a high-paying job, where we can all...
I think you touched off on a very
important... Be the change.
But it's drug prohibition, the drug policy that's destroying communities and not the drugs. You know, it's always the drugs getting blamed for destroying lives and for doing this and that. But the drugs don't do it, actually. Yeah. The drug policy that sees...
Yeah, it's prohibition.
Like, prohibition. Like, sees people like yourself, like you put a tag in your leg, then the cops arrive in your house like early in the morning because of a faulty battery. Then you have to bring your child to your mother's. Like, the impact that has on your child, like, I'm not too sure how old your child is, but if they're at an age where they're impressionable at all, they're going to have a distaste for the police for taking away you, their dad. I'd imagine your kid probably looks up to your role model in their life, and then they see the cops taking them away. Like, in my own experience, when I got locked up, I didn't tell my kids. I kept that secret from my kids because for so long, I always, like, my kids grew up like cops target bad people. They're there to protect us, and prisoners are bad people. How do I explain to my child that, look, I was a prisoner, but I'm not a bad person. I'm just getting caught up in this kind of ludicrous law. Like, that's such a hard thing to explain to my child. So I kept a secret from him, and it wasn't only until just when I ran for election here last year that when my daughter was 12, that I finally let her know, I was in prison for a couple of days because of cannabis. It's a tough one to deal with. Like, but yourself, what's your own experience in that? Like, would you be of the same view? Was your child impressionable, or are they too young to have understood what was going on?
My son's been terrorized all his life. He was visiting me when he was 2 years of age in jail with his mum bringing him in. I mean, I could tell you stories and stories just about what they've done to him over the years. I mean, and how can I teach my son to respect authority when they've seen what they've done to me?
Yeah.
I'll tell you a little story. I've told you about the one where when he took me in the middle of the night for the tag. Another time, they come, well, this was only last year, 2018. He took his birthday present, which was a computer. Now, that was his life. So they took his computer, like.
And, jeez, man. Like a desktop computer, or as a PlayStation.
Yeah, his work computer, his life. His life, it was his community. It was his everything with his friends. I mean, it was everything, and he took it. So when I come home, he was screaming at the top of his voice when he let me out of the police station. He was screaming at the top of his voice, "Why have you took my computer, Dad? It's nothing to do with me. Your cannabis type of thing." Yeah. I know I felt so guilty because I didn't have the money to replace it. My house was all like trashed, and, you know, doors kicked in, and, you know, he just
I'm getting goosebumps now because of just the feelings. I'm kind of relating to what that must have been like with yourself.
I'll tell you another quick story. What happened one day? Quickly, I had a cannabis fine because I'd been caught with cannabis in my pocket. Just walking home one day. Driving home one day. So I just thought, you know what? It's easier just to take a cannabis fine now on the street because. I didn't have the money to pay it off the time. It was only £130, I think. Okay. So I just put it at the back of my mind and thought, you know what? They've had enough off me. They've took tens of thousands off, pockets off me, and all legal money. So I thought, I'm not going to pay it. So 6 months down the line, there was a knock on the door, this bailiff. And at the time, it was a Friday night. I'd been working all week. And there was a major flood in my kitchen. My toilet upstairs, it was leaking. So just got in, and And I just chased these bailiffs anyway for this fine. So the next thing, I'm sitting there, I built myself a joint. I was wringing the floor out, no squeeze. I'd filled about six mop buckets. And it was police just ran in my house. Jeez. With these bailiffs. Now, it was in November and it was cold. So, like, I was smoking cannabis in my kitchen. That's where I was smoking.
Yeah.
So I didn't want them to come and take me cannabis off the table. So I'm like, get out my house. So after 2 hours of bullying me, he went upstairs and took my mortgage money, which was £360. So my son was there and said, son, I'm saying to this policeman, how can I expect him to respect you, authority, when you're taking my mortgage money now? You're going to leave me short because you're taking me money. And this was in front of my son, like, so I was £5 short, and he was saying, phone your brother up and get the £5. Now, my brother wouldn't speak to me because of my activism, and he's been raided, and he took his computer. So he was saying, phone your friend for this £5. So I actually phoned my friend up and said, listen, there's three police officers in my house. Could you please come round with £5 for me so I can give them it to get them out my house? So we come round and he's like, what's going on? I said, with the £5 to make the rest of the final. And he was saying to me, have you got a penny jar you can count to give me the £5? So we took my friend 3/4 of an hour. So it was like, they come for 3 hours, they terrorised me till they got £365 off me.
And how many people were there in terms of you, the bailiff and police?
Two police officers and the bailiff, but I think the bailiff was a police officer as well.
Yeah.
You all have the same boots on and that.
So if they were at your house for 3 hours, you can imagine an hour maybe before the operation, an hour after. So 5 hours, like, yeah. How much do you think that cost
the services
over there? Do you think the £300 covered the cost of their wages for those hours?
Oh, it was just bullies. They come and just really bullied me, you know, like terrorised me that night and terrorised my son as well, because I left the front door open because I didn't want them coming in my kitchen taking my cannabis off the table as well.
Yeah.
So they come and took me mortgage money. That was just one night.
Jeez. And how old is your son, if you don't mind me asking?
My son is 16 years of age now.
16 now, okay. Yeah, my oldest daughter now is 13, so... She can understand it a bit more. So how, like, conversations with your son, obviously, you've had plenty now, I suppose, but how have you helped with getting his moral compass right, you know, like, because you're breaking laws. How do you explain to your son, like, it's not okay to break laws except this one? Like, you know, it's a very hard situation, you know?
I didn't discuss it till he was 9 and he come in and said to me, hey, Dad, you know them money plants you've been growing? I said, yeah. He said, it's weed. I said, oh, who's been talking to you? You've been watching Family Guy, watching Brian,
yeah,
the stoner. So, I mean, Family Guy told them all about it.
Yeah, my youngest daughter, she's 7, but I interviewed Alison Littlefair, who wrote Walter and the Magic Seed, which is a really good kids book, but it explains about the cannabis plant and how it's beneficial for kids with epilepsy. And my daughter, she's only 7 now, and she was reading through the book, and she got to the part where it said cannabis, and she goes, oh, Dad, I can't bring this to school. And I goes, why not? She goes, oh, it says your weeds. It's not about your weeds in there. Like, and I was breaking what happened, because it said cannabis. It said cannabis, but what she said to me, she said weeds. And it's just so funny when you're hearing it coming from, like, such a little person, like, that they're, oh, my God, like, because the thing, because she knows about it now. I even had conversations now with my youngest daughter. She's 7. Because we got stopped and searched by the guards together as a family. I was on the way to a dog show with my family on Easter Sunday. We had two dogs in the car, myself, my partner, and our two kids. And the cops stopped and searched my car at a checkpoint. I had everything in the window, tax, insurance, all of the stuff. License was good. And they were like, oh, please pull in there. And I was like, why, what's wrong? And they were like, oh, no, just please pull in there. And then I pulled in for them. And they were like, oh, you were caught with cannabis 2 weeks ago. We want to search your car. And I'm like, guys, my family's here. My two kids, my dog's in the car. I was like, I was caught with one joint. It was worth a tenner. And you're going to search my car again because of this. So at the side of a very busy main road, it was a big dual carriageway road that they had a checkpoint on. Me, my entire family stood at the side of the road with our two dogs while two guards went through our car. They searched me, they searched my partner. They found absolutely nothing. But from that day, I had to explain it to my seven-year-old then, like what was going on, what the guards stopped us for, what they were looking for, because they mentioned cannabis, what that was. And it was terrible. Like it was like, I have pictures of it there. I'll insert them in there for people to see in the interview afterwards. But it was a horrible ordeal to go through, and the aftermath of that then to explain that to my youngest daughter, like, we shouldn't hate the, like, she doesn't like the guards now. Like when she sees the guards, like I was eating a chipper food with her there one day. We went out cycling our bikes, got some chipper food, and we were sitting on a bench at the side of a road, just eating our food. And a guard's car pulled up at the traffic lights in front of us. And my daughter, like she's only seven, she hid behind the bench jokingly. She goes, "Dad, hide the guards there." And I was just like, I was shocked actually, because I'm like, geez, that's the mentality my daughter has. Like she's actually hiding from the guards at 7 years of age. And she's telling me to do so too. Like in her own mind, she was playing a game. She was being funny. She was trying to be funny. But still to me, like I just couldn't help but see, like what psychologically her view of the guards now, that these are somebody you have to hide from almost, you know, and there's a game of it, cops and robbers kind of thing. Like it was horrible to really go through that. Like
it's got to stop, hasn't it?
It really does, yeah. Like
it's got to stop.
Your young fella's 16 now. He'll be 18 in another 2 years. I don't know if he already does or does not. I know I started smoking cannabis when I was 15. But like if your 16-year-old young fella now was to start smoking cannabis, really, would you want him to be going getting it where you had to get it all along, which is maybe from the streets outside of when you grew it yourself, or maybe got it from other growers? But would you really want him to be dealing with those kind of guys out there? Or maybe even risk being dragged into dealing himself too? Like, is he at that vulnerable age now, really, isn't he?
There's lots of teenagers in this city who are put in the system, and they're just bail, jail, tag license, you know, from getting arrested with a bit of cannabis. I mean, the whole life's it ruins because of that caution when there's 15 or 16. It just closes so many doors.
Yeah.
And but it opens so many doors for the criminal justice and the whole waste of the money, isn't it? And, criminalizing tens of thousands of young people, and you know, it's just it's got to stop.
Can I ask where is it at the moment in the UK? Is there, like in Ireland, we have the People Before Profit, Gene O'Kenny, he's putting a bill before the government later on this year that's seeking to regulate the sale and supply of cannabis for adults. But is there anything like that in the works in the UK? Is there any party kind of on about publishing, put forward a bill to see cannabis decriminalised or legalised at all?
I know there's people in the Conservative drug policy, and Boris has brought people into his inner circle who are pro-cannabis type of thing. There's lots of CBD companies and things, but chilling rooms is going to be the game changer as far as I'm concerned. We're the light at the end of the tunnel for the whole industry, and everyone can partake in. It's not going to be corporate. It's going to be homegrown, yeah. Locally produced by the community for the community. And
so as
it's all partake in this.
So as it stands, there is no kind of political party or independent that's going to be submitting a bill. So what you're hoping to do is maybe set the motion forward. Like, you want to set up the chilling rooms. And if the authorities come and shut you down, it's kind of like just ask for permission afterwards. Is that the
matter? No, we'll all be rubber stamped when we open the doors. All
we'll
affiliated.
Be rubber stamped.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. We're all going to be
How does that work with legislation from policymakers, like with the your Misuse of Drugs Act in the UK?
Well, you can't buy it now with a prescription, can't you? From proper cannabis.
Yeah.
Okay, if you've got a prescription, I mean, I've seen people's prescriptions. It's just the money side of it, isn't it? So if we can tax the black market and bring it out of the black market in a regulated, safe space,
yeah,
which is a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. No, I think it's incredibly ambitious. Like, and I really hope that you are successful in it. And I really hope the authorities don't come down. Like, the approval that you get, I hope it's respected by the authorities. Like, as you said, people can get private prescriptions over there now. You have the CAN card in the UK for the last couple of months, which kind of gives amnesty to patients who can't afford a private prescription. I definitely think you're at the right time. You've tried before, you've tried again, and maybe third time lucky, if, like, let's say this is third time lucky, and you keep on going, and no bumps in the road for you. That I get to go over there on the 21st and smoke a big fatty with you.
These are the times where we're all going to partake in it. Yeah. After the COVID, like this is the time.
Certainly. Do you have any message for anybody out there who, I don't know, who might want to do something similar to yourself, set up their own chilling rooms? Should they get in touch with you, or should they just drive on?
Just get your brand name ready. Tell all your friends. Find your premises. Make sure times it times three, because it's going to be really popular. So don't think of a little place. Think of like 200 or 300 people. And if you want to use my chilling rooms model, you're welcome to. But you can use the app to just put your club on. Say it's the Chinese symbol. So it's just going to be we're all going to partake in under this.
And the app launches on 4/20. Is that going to be the day you open the door of
chilling? 4/20, yeah.
Do you intend to open the chilling rooms?
Well, it's ready to open.
It's ready. Oh, you're just waiting on the restrictions, you're saying, yeah?
Just the restrictions, yeah. The premises is ready to go, but you're going to have to be a member with invite only type of thing. It's not going to be out there. You're going to have to be invited. The must-have cannabis download for 2021.
Definitely. If you do open the doors beforehand, definitely get in touch with me. Give me a heads up before you do it, once the restrictions, because I'll hop on the first ferry across and come visit you before 4/20, because epic stuff, I can't wait to see what's coming. Gary, it's been an absolute pleasure to sit and chat with you this morning. Do you have any closing points you want to get out there to the people? Because I will have you back on in future anyway as well.
I think you're doing an amazing job yourself, getting the word out there. We're all part of this orchestra now. When you play that part, that instrument, and I play this instrument, and we all know the song, and we can all harmonize with each other. And before you know it, everyone will be singing our song with all their own little unique little places. Just everybody roll your sleeves up and get your name and your brand out there, and and we can all work together, all of us, because as I say, it's not just about me, it's about all of everybody. This is the whole industry, what's just gonna open the doors now for everyone. So get ready.
Do the chilling rooms have social media presence at all? Are they present on any social media?
We'll have everything in place by then. We've been underground, but we will be launching with media, and we've got professionals in who are going to sort our. Behind the scenes.
If people want to find yourself or to follow your own story, where would be the best place to find you? Where are you most active yourself on social media?
I'm not really active. No. You're helping me.
Yeah. It was tough to find you, actually, to be honest. Well, Gary, thanks very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I really can't wait to hear when the doors have been opened and to get over there and meet you in person and get to share that big spliff and have a proper conversation face to face, because as good as technology is, and I'm delighted to be able to communicate with you across it does take away a certain bit of connection, a certain aspect of the conversation that I really miss having with people. I can't wait to get over there and meet you in person, and until then, stay blessed, Gary.
And you, peace and love. Thanks for everything.
And there you have it, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed doing it. It was a real pleasure to speak with Gary Utes. And thanks again, Gary, for taking the time to come on the Martin's World podcast and share your story with the audience out there. Guys, if you're all inspired about what Gary's doing, definitely look into establishing your own little cannabis club like that. I'm aiming to establish a cannabis activist hub, but establish a cannabis community for yourself, so you can just come together, meet and socialize, create a safe spot and a nice social hub, And that in itself will be, you know, that'll be very beneficial for the fight for cannabis legalization when it comes to it. So, guys, thanks very much for tuning in to the episode of the podcast. Just to remind you before you go, if you want to support the show, support the fight for cannabis legalization in Ireland, support the need for the cannabis hub that I want to establish, then you can make a donation in the form of Bitcoin to martinsworld.e, or you can also sign up to the patreon.com/martinsworld. And all of the funds there will be used to establish that activist hub, much like Gary's chilling rooms, but a bit with a bit more action off the back of it. So thanks again, guys, and stay blazed out there. Keep it lit. Peace.